little bit about Isaiah. You know, Isaiah, he was a student, man. He was, we're talking about evangelism. You know, the name Isaiah means the Lord saves. You know, Isaiah, he came in after King Uzziah died. All right. Yeah, after King Uzziah died, up pop Isaiah. You know, Isaiah also was one of the most sought after prophets in the book of the Bible. Mostly everything he wrote, especially this Isaiah 53. You know, it's one of the books that's searched in scripture many and many of times. And I heard scholars says that, you know, they never could get to the bottom of this scripture. It's bottomless, that's what they say. Oh, yeah, it's about, that's how deep this scripture is. Yeah. So I'm going to try to do a little something with my feeble preaching this evening. And I hope I get some amens. But first, I got a little introduction I had run across, you know, doing my research and stuff. I got a little story I want to tell. All right. Okay. Excuse me. Here's the introduction, and I got this offline, and I sure wish I knew who it was. I would like to give them the props for this here. But anyway, it goes like this. He says, anybody grew up in the, as a child, we love our superheroes, you know. Our superheroes were so powerful that nothing could ever hurt them. So powerful that no problem are too big for them. Could you imagine Superman not using his strength? Or Thor decide not to pick up a hammer? That's no movie if that happens. You know, but here's the thing. I believe Jesus Christ was and is the Son of God. I believe he the ultimate hero. This kind of hero would make anybody in the Marvel Universe blush. He's the bright morning star. He's the root and the offspring of David, the soon coming king. But my favorite description is the lion and the lamb. Ever since I was a child, I was confused to how the Prince of Peace could be regarded as a lion and a lamb. My. A lamb, sure, they're sweet, you know, and all that. Sheep, we count sheep. But for goodness sakes, but a lion? Like my, now I'm having trouble with his name. But like Mufasa in The Lion King, I had to Google that. Some of y'all done looked at The Lion King. I come up in the era where Popeye was my superhero. When you're messing with Popeye, he'll go in his pocket and he'll open that can. You know what I'm talking about? He'll open up a can on you, you know, that Popeye. But Mufasa's the Lion King. You know, the lioness carry their cubs with their teeth. They're powerful. They are known as the king of the jungle. But perhaps we can all have that power and strength of a lion and know how to use it in its meek and purest way. My. Like a lamb, natural human instincts don't overtake them the way they overtake us. He can be a pain or be disrespected or be cast down and not snap a finger. Like Thanos and in all humanity, even in his frustrations, even then he's merciful. He's a mighty like a lion. He can target something and chase it down no matter what. And while he deal with all the chaos that led to Calvary, do you know what was in his sight? You. Not as a target, but as a goal to redeem you from the hand of the enemy. Jesus had the power to destroy everyone that was torturing him and beating him and mocking him and spitting on him. That day on the way to Calvary, he had the power. But he was silent. He was willing and chose to be silent. He chose you and I over everything else. What an incredible act of love and bravery from the line of Judah. And what an incredible act of humbleness from the silent lamb. My. You know, if I wanted to put a subject on this lesson today, I would call it The Silence of the Lamb. Silence of the Lamb. I got three significant observations to help us to see, because this chapter Isaiah, it's about suffering, you know, and we all gonna suffer. So I'm just letting you know, we all gonna suffer. So I hope that I'll be able to say something tonight, make it portable, so when you go home and your suffering come, you can apply it. Amen. All right. Isaiah 53 exemplifies humility in his actions and character. Jesus was oppressed and treated harshly, yet he never said a mumbling word. Matthew 23:12. Jesus said, whoever exalts himself will be humble, and whoever humble himself will be exalted. My. So let Jesus exalt your family. James 4:6 says, but he give us more grace. That is why God opposes the proud but shows favor to the humble. So what does it mean to be humble? You aim to continually listen, receive, and respond with generous openness to your life from the deep convictions of God, loving kindness, and goodwill. You know, the reliance upon God through humility, living in the right understanding of who God is, who I am, and who you are. I realize today that I can't, he can, and I think I let him. Now to him who is able to keep me from falling into sin and to present me unblemished and blameless and faultless in the presence of his glory. Amen. Here I want to explore some examples of humility from the life and teachings of Jesus Christ. And then perhaps his greatest act of humility, he allowed himself to be hung. Yeah, he did, y'all. Upon the cross. His last words in mortality typify his teaching on humility. After Jesus uttered the words, it's finished. John 19:30, he also declared that his Father's will had to be done. All right. You see, Jesus had an assignment, y'all. He had an assignment to go to the cross, no matter what. See, when you have an assignment, you got to stick to it. I want to encourage you listeners to consider the importance of humility in your lives and relationships. Why humble individuals, when you're humble, they say, why humble individuals are more likely to admit their faults and apologize and practice forgiveness than an individual who is boastful and who is narcissist. Now, let us focus on his silence in the B part of the verse. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep is silent before the shears. He did not open his mouth. We want to talk about silent servant. He was a humble servant there, and now he's a silent servant. Reflect on the silence of the servant in Isaiah 53 and 7. It's a deeper meaning.
Yes, sir.
Isaiah predicts that the Messiah will be as mild as a sheep just before it is slaughtered. He would not protest or complain about what is unjustly happening to him. He will be oppressed and judged. Isaiah prophesizes these things. This messianic prophecy is commonly known as suffering and serving. Suffering and serving prophecy. Not only did Isaiah predict Jesus would be slaughtered, he also prophesied that a pure young woman would give birth to God's son. My, my, my. Matthew 1, 18 through 23, Isaiah prophesies is fulfilled in Isaiah 9 and 6, where Isaiah prophesies that Jesus Christ will come as a baby. It's described by many names. We call him Emmanuel. God is with us. But the five names that Joshua gave him was Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. My, my, my. Now, as we go back and look into Jesus is silent, because if there was one person who we want to speak for us, you know it's Jesus. If it's one person we want to speak, we want Jesus to speak. Yes, sir. The last sentence in the scripture said, he did not open his mouth. My, my, my. The silence of the obsolete assequence, as in Psalm 38 and 14 and Psalm 39 and 9, for the main points for us to lay our heart, is not merely the fact that it was silent submission, but the motive which led to it. He opened not his mouth because he was willingly embracing the cross, because he loved the Father and he would do his will, because he loved the world and he would be the world's savior. He was silent. Silence was important. It helps us connect with God. It's a special gift for us to cultivate and use the aid of our faith. Silence enable us to let God reach out to us. This silence provides inner listening in your heart. My soul is inside of us. What is it saying to our lives? You can and only hear when you pay attention to it. When chaos is all around the room, the person who keeps silent is the one who has the power. Y'all didn't hear me? The one who has the power. See, when I come up, I remember, you know, them guys used to bark a lot, but wasn't no fight in them. The one that was quiet, that's the ones you had to watch. Just a little humor there, y'all. Yeah. Yes, sir. Now, we have talked about the humble servant, a silent servant. Now let's hear from the sacrificial lamb. Jesus did say unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. They replied, it has taken 46 years to build this temple, and you are going to raise it up in 3 days? But the temple he had spoken of, they didn't know. He was talking about his body. The Lord commanded them to take, to a, every man and a lamb with, hold on, kind of lost my way. The Lord commanded them, every man, to take a lamb in Exodus 12, 3 and 5, being careful to avoid any bones that was broken, that the lamb was to be a sacrifice. That let you know that Jesus was the perfect sacrifice. I know. Can't tell me because I know. God means of the atoning for sins. New covenant, not only did Jesus become our high priest, but he also became our sacrificial lamb. So he could be eternally forgiven. Isaac said, but where is the lamb? Where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham answered, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering. My son, Jesus, Genesis in 22 and 7 May. It was out on a hill called Calvary. They hung him high. They stretched him wide. They put nails in his hands. And he crossed his feet and let them drive a stake into his feet. It wasn't the nails that held him, y'all. It was his love for me and you. They speared him in the side. Oh, yeah, they did. Water for our baptism. Blood for our sins. There were two thieves on the cross with him. One on each side. One on each side. Water for our baptism, blood for our sins. There were two thieves on each side. One was mocking Jesus, saying, if you are the Son of God, why don't you save us? And then the thief on the left said, leave him alone. Truly he is the Son of God. Behold the Lamb, he said. By saying that Jesus says to him, by him saying that Jesus says to him, you will be with me in my kingdom. Jesus is not getting back on the cross, y'all. I want you to know he's not getting back on the cross. Yeah. Finally, he said, it's finished. He locked his head on his shoulders. He died. Didn't he die? That's not how the story ends. What seemed like dark and gloomy Friday and hopeless Saturday. Sunday was coming. I say Sunday is coming. He got up bright and early. Easter Sunday morning with all power in his hand. Grave, where is your victory? Death, where is your sting? Remember things you look like. It's not over. Don't cry. Smile, because it happened. I'm going to say that again. When you look at things you're suffering and you look at things, don't cry. Smile, because it happens. But now, who has believed our message? I hope you have believed our message tonight. Jesus is the risen Savior. I want to thank you. Amen. Sorry about the technical difficulties. I got to get better with that.
It's all right.
It's all right. It's
all right. Come on, come on. Let's thank God. Let me tell you this something. I would take that over the most prolific person that ever stood here and preached any day of the week. When a person's heart is in the right place, you can receive that. And today, people today don't they look at stuff like this. Oh, you know, the blood. The resurrection, it will be talked about. And for some reason, the way we're going today, people don't want to hear about the blood. But the text tells us he was like a lamb led to slaughter. Isn't that something? Our Lord was being led like a naive lamb, not knowing. You know, when they counted the sheep, they would count in silence. Imagine the sheep didn't know they were going to their slaughter. There's a proverb passage that says you got to watch out for that kind of woman. Proverbs 7 woman, she said, her house is like a, yeah, you're going like an ox to the slaughter. Talks about that. Amen. You understand that, right? Amen. You don't know what's about to happen to you. But Jesus knew what was about to happen to him. Imagine the restraint. Imagine how much it took for him. He had omniscience. He's omnipresent. He's omnipotent. He had the power. He could have done it. He could have done some things. But all the way up, as the preacher said, he was thinking about us. He had us in mind. Oh, don't let that fact escape you, saints. Jesus did it for us. I thank God for the Holy Spirit's leading on this passage this week. Each night, each person in their own way and their own personality brought it home to show us what Jesus did for us. This isn't about the Easter dress and the whatever with the eggs that we're going, yeah, and all that. No, this week and Sunday is significant for one reason. I told you yesterday that they found Buddha's thumb. They did. They found Buddha's thumb. He's still there. I wish I had somebody. But when they went to the tomb of Jesus, I told you when I went to Jerusalem and I went in the supposable tomb, amen, I went in there, it was empty. I said, whoa, the facts are there. He rose from the dead. But look what he did for you and I. Some of us, we can't suffer in silence. We go kicking and screaming. Come on, help me, somebody. Kicking, screaming, complaining. Yeah, boy, listen. And what you don't realize, some of what you're going through, you're not really getting the full blow because he's taken most of it for you. The text says he didn't open his mouth. Just because you're silent doesn't mean God can't work on your behalf. That's a lesson for you right there. Just sometimes you just got to say, instead of calling everybody, call on the Lord. If he suffered in silence, I believe we can too.